There I am. I just had to. I was going to wear this, like, today is Super Bowl Sunday. And they're like, you also know it's Child Dedication Sunday. And ain't nobody want that in their photos. 14 years later, Isaiah's looking at it like, why is Pastor Michael wearing a Usher shirt? Now, if you're joining us for the first time, we kicked off a series last week called Mixtape. We're spending 7 weeks talking all things relationships. And I'll tell you, last week, we kicked off really talking to the singles of the house. And it's been incredible just to hear what you guys have taken away from that. I'm excited to just kind of dive into it a little bit more. This is week two. This is track two. DJ got us falling in love. Yo, come on. Last week, we talked about finding love and what do we find in a season of singleness. And today, I want to talk to you about, man, what does it look like to fall in love? What does it look like to go through the process? What should I be looking for in a relationship? And I'll tell you, just preparing for this series, it has taken me down to like the early days when Rach and I fell in love. Yo, it's been really, really special because last week I shared with you at the end of service is that we ended up going to a dinner together and we sat down at a movie together. And the movie was the movie called Bruce Almighty. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Jim Carrey, Jennifer Aniston. And I love it. It's so, so funny. And anybody that spent any time with me, when I get really tickled, when I find something really, really funny, I have what's known as, they call it the seal laugh. Like, I laugh, Josiah knows, you're like, and I laugh like, like, it sounds like I cannot breathe. And the first time that happened in that movie, and Rachel's like, oh my gosh, he's so cute. 20 years later, it ain't cute anymore. She's like, I need you to stop. That is embarrassing. See, we used to stay up in our early days of falling up till like 3 a.m. just talking. Just looking into each other's eyes. I was driving after a meeting Tuesday night. I was leaving here and driving home, and my 13-year-old called me, and he said, Dad, can you stop by the grocery store and pick up some water bottles for my lunch tomorrow? And I was like, Ben, I'm tired. Like, I'm ready for bed. It's so late. And he goes, Dad, it's 8:30. Things change over time, yo. Things change. And today, I just want to talk to you about, man, what does it look like to fall in love? See, because I believe from the jump, you see, falling for the right person is delightful, but falling for the wrong person is disastrous. Oh, see, you need to know that today. If you take nothing else away today, falling for the right person is delightful, but falling for the wrong person is disastrous. It can take you to places that you never intended to go. And I need to put a caveat before this because I heard through the grapevine, and some people even told me, you know, I didn't come last week because I got a sneak peek. I know you're going to be talking to singles, and I ain't single. Somebody said, I think that last week's message was going to be for some young people, and I'm 50 years old. I'm not going to get anything out of it. And can I tell you, singles have been super nice over the last week. But can I tell you, the people that I've heard from the most were people that message wasn't even really intended for. It was a dad that said, man, when you talk about discontent, that's me. I'm in a really season of discontent right now. When I said, you know, you need to deal with your stuff because what you don't deal with in one season will destroy you in the next season. I had a mom that said, that's who I am right now. I'm going through a relationship right now, and because I didn't deal with my stuff, it's had a terrible effect on the relationship that I'm in right now. See, why do I tell you all that? Because today we're going to give you some things that you need to know if you're looking at moving forward in a dating relationship. But I guarantee you, if you listen in today and you lean in, I believe God's going to speak to you. Despite your status, despite your background, I believe that God has a word for people today. And just to kind of test you on some of it, I'm preaching from a scripture that only about half of you generally read. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. See, when I grew up, all the girls in my Christian school grew up and you're like, what do you want to do after high school? What do you want to do after college? And so many girls are like, I want to be a Proverbs 31 wife. And you're like, shut up, Susie. And I think so often we've seen it as a charge to women. But can I tell you, as I've read it over the last few weeks, I believe it's applicable for both men and women if you really lean in today. See, it's written by an unnamed woman. An unnamed woman that is writing to her son Lemuel. Lemuel is the king. Proverbs 31, it starts off by telling him, it says, don't engage in so much wine or you will make some poor decisions. That's a word for somebody today. Some of y'all were drinking too much this week or tonight. You'll make a bad bet on the team. It's not going to win. It's not going to win. Somebody asked me today, who are you cheering for? I said, I think the Chiefs, because I've had enough like sad Taylor Swift songs in my life. I don't need more. I don't need her to go and write some more. I think that's who I'm going for. She says, don't engage in too much wine, too much drinking. She goes on and says, speak up for people who cannot speak up for themselves. And then she goes on to lay out over the course of Proverbs 31, she lays out what Lemuel should be looking for in a woman. Because Lemuel was single. Lemuel was desirable. No doubt, there was a whole line of women coming up to him that wanted to be his queen. And she said, no, you're not just going to go with any girl. I want you to know what you should be looking for. And so no matter what your season today, I want to challenge you. If you're single, these are the things that you should be looking for in a relationship down the road. If you're dating somebody today, I want you to see if this person you're dating has these qualities in Scripture. If you're married, I think we got to examine ourselves and see, do I have these five things in my marriage? Am I portraying these five things in my marriage? And so today, I want to preach to you, I want to teach you from this place of five requirements of a fulfilling relationship. Five requirements of a fulfilling relationship. And I believe this could apply to anybody. This could be in friendships and coworkers within your family. Five requirements of a fulfilling relationship. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this isn't an exclusive list, but I believe these five things are really, really important when it comes to relationships. So let's start in Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. See, number one, what do we need to look at first? We need to find somebody who's committed. Find somebody who is committed. See, commitment is a lost art form. Commitment, we don't see a lot in culture today. What do you mean? We drop out of school. We quit the job, we end the marriage, we jump from church to church, friendship from friendship, relationship to relationship. See, commitment is one of those things that we must have. I think in my life, if I'm really honest with you, the people that I trusted the most went on to hurt me the most. And see, it's hard to be committed to people because real talk, even in this role, Rach and I have this conversation all the time that are the people that are in our lives that want access to our lives, that I'm all on board, Pastor Michael, can I really trust them? Because see, we've seen people come and we've seen people go. I think no matter whether you're in ministry, outside of ministry, in a relationship, outside of a relationship, you've had people that have come and gone in your life. And maybe you're sitting here today and you say, I have trust issues when it comes to people in my life. I don't know who I can trust. See, because so often in my life, when I needed people, I called them up. And when I got them on the phone, they said, I'm too busy right now. You ever had called up somebody and said, oh, I'm too tired. I can't help you right now. Called somebody, I'm too stressed. I called up a buddy one time when I was at Bradley and my car wasn't working. He was an expert on cars. And I said, hey, can you come help me? And it was the excuse of all excuses. He said, I'm too hungover this morning, bro. I need somebody that would answer the phone call. I need people that can help us. See, we need to find people in our lives that we can trust. We need to have people in our lives that are committed to us. See, when you read through Proverbs 31, when you start to get to verse 10, it's titled, A Wife of Noble Character. See, can I tell you, you can't change the family you were born into. You can't change where you grew up. You can't change who God has created and designed you to be, but your character, that's within your control. There are too many people in life today that focus on their reputation when they should be focusing on their character. There are too many of us that are going through life, and it's all about our jobs, our accolades, our titles. And none of those things are bad in and of itself. But when we put the focus on those things, working on our reputation instead of working on our character, it all starts to fall apart. See, I think if we're not careful, we will use those two words interchangeably. See, what's the difference between them? I think your reputation is your external representation. But your character, that's your internal reality. See, my reputation is what you see and what you say. My reputation as Pastor Michael Richardson is what you see on this platform and what you say about me. But can I tell you, my character is what is here long after you're gone. My character is what happens off this platform when the lights shut down, when I'm around my family and my friends. My character is who I am when I'm by myself and nobody knows what I'm doing. See, you need to know your character is developed daily by desires and decisions. Your character is developed daily by your desires and your decisions. See, each and every one of us, we have feelings, we have thoughts that come in our mind, but the choice that we have is, do we act on those desires? Do we make good decisions? Do we make God-honoring decisions? See, I think in our lives, so often it's a battle between our ratchetness and our righteousness. I think it's between our flesh and what we know God has called us to be, who God has called us, what he's called us to do. See, it's not easy. I think for so many times when we have a coworker who runs our name down, who tries to take us out, we always, man, I think our initial response is to take out revenge on them when God says, no, you're going to be a workplace of peace. I think it's so easy to lash out on our kids and God is saying, I need you to be patient with them. See, I think it's so easy for us to give in to temptation when God calls us to be men and women of self-control. See, that's our character. Our character is designed and developed in the dark places when nobody is watching. See, today you need to know your character will determine your commitment. Your character will determine your commitment. See, you will be either committed to your partner or to porn. You will be committed to your marriage or to your mistress. And it gets quiet when you talk about that. Some of you are like, I just brought Aunt Jenny to church for child dedications. But these are real conversations because one of the growing things that I see within churches all around America is secret sin. We come in here on a Sunday, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored, Pastor. But you know you just did things that you would never want your pastor or anyone in your row to find out about it. See, we've got to be honest today. We've got to be men and women of character. Am I going to be committed to my righteousness or am I going to be committed to my sinfulness? Am I going to be committed to my healing or am I going to be committed to my hangups? See, there's a choice every single one of us has to make. It involves trust. See, trust is a big deal to me. I don't mind if you're not the most smartest, the most talented. You can't communicate well. I'm big on trust. Spend any time with me. I need to know that I can trust you. See, and trust is built over time. If I have one conversation with you, it doesn't mean I trust you. Trust is built over time. Simply put, can I say it like this? Trust is built in single increments over time. You build trust with someone. Trust is built in single increments, but trust can be lost in a single incident. You need to know it can take years to build up trust, but in just one moment, one bad decision, one lapse in your character, it can all be gone. Trust is built in single increments, but it is lost in a single incident. It's why we've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's why we got to know that we know that we know. See, I think growing up, I went to something called the Old English Fair at Jubilee. Okay, give it up for ye old servants or whatever. My Nana is from England, and she would take us every single summer to the Old English Fair at Jubilee State Park. And it was great. I loved it as a kid because we'd eat really well, and there'd be like jousting and stuff like that. But when I was younger, well, one year was my favorite, is they had this kind of a catapult, a pulley that was set up. And there would be a guy that was dressed up like ye old knight. I think his name was Jim, but he called himself Sir William. And Sir William would get in this little bucket, and there'd be a man behind him, like pulling him back. And at just the right moment, he would pull him back, and he would launch him, and he would like fall into like a big pile of hay or something like that. It was great. I loved it so much. My mom's like, "We got to go and look at some other things." I'm like, "I'm gonna be right here. I want to see Sir William just get shot out of this cannon, out of this pulley." I loved it so much. But there was one time, the guy that was pulling Sir William back, he didn't quite have a grip on the ground. And this other guy went under Sir William, and the whole thing like collapsed on top of him. Oh gosh, where were you 18 years ago to help me out? And I think about that moment because people came and were like trying to help him. And as I think back in that moment, I think it's the same thing with our character. Because see, your character will either catapult you or your character will crush you. Oh, see, you need to know today, your character will either catapult you into the purpose and the destiny that God has for you, or your lack of character will crush you. You will never step into the fullness that God has for you if you don't continue to work on your character. See, in a new relationship, focus on their character rather than focusing on their reputation. Focus on who they really are, not who they pretend to be, not who they tell you they are. Can I tell you, don't become so blind to their promise that you overlook their past. See, some of you are in relationships right now, and the other person has been promising you things over and over and over again. Don't become so blind to their promise that you overlook their past. And you're like, "Michael, that sounds very judgy." I don't mean it judgy, but I think it's not judgment, it's discernment. See, some of you are going into relationships without any discernment whatsoever because you've been single for too long, because you've been by yourself for too long, because let's be real, I want a physical relationship and I've been on the back burner for so long. And so we move into relationships and we don't have any discernment. Yes, I know people change. Yes, I know there's grace. I know there's mercy. But in all of those things, don't put aside wisdom. Don't cast wisdom out the door. How do I know that? Listen to what it says, Proverbs 14:16. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. See, you need to today be cautious and careful, not risky and reckless. See, there are so many of us that are going into relationships. We're just risking it all. We're being reckless. Can I tell you? Let's just be cautious. Just be careful. I'm not saying this isn't a word from the Lord. Don't say, "Pastor Michael said that I should break up." I'm not God. I'll have a prophetic word for you. But I think we've got to use some wisdom in relationships moving forward. See, listen, if you are moving forward in a dating relationship and you have questions about it, stop and address those questions with the other person. Talk about it. See, I think too many times we get so starry-eyed and we have these rose-colored glasses on, and we don't want to see any of the red flags that are in front of us. See, when Rach and I got together, we had real conversations about finances and my fear about marriage because I came from a divorced home. We started to talk about what are our dreams moving forward. And we had those real conversations, and I could hear her heart. She could hear my concerns, and we moved forward with it. I think there's always, man, pray about it. I'm baffled by the number of people that move into relationships and they haven't once prayed to see if that who is God has told you to be in relationship with. Get yourself around, man, really great Christian role models, great Christian mentors. Hey, I'm going into this new relationship. Here's what I'm feeling. Will you speak into my life? And can I tell you, if they're people that you trust, listen to them. I'm telling you, it gets quiet in here because some of y'all keep asking and you jump around from Pastor John to Pastor Michael to Pastor Sam to Angel to Patrick, just hoping that one of the five of us says something you want to hear. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. It's not like bingo. Some of y'all play relationship bingo, mentoring bingo. Pastor John didn't say it, so maybe Pastor Michael will say it. Well, Pastor Michael will say it, Pastor Sam will. Y'all are stupid. Listen, when someone gives you some insight, some wisdom, some knowledge, take them up on it. Can I be, I'm just going to go off script right now, right? Because one of the most frustrating parts of our role is when people will periodically reach out to us and said, would you have any time to meet with me, to talk with me about what I'm going through right now? And a lot of times it's in relationship. And we'll sit down, yeah, we'll talk with people. Hey, here's what I think, and go through like that. And then here's what I think the next step should be. And they're like, okay, yeah, I got it, okay. And then they reach out to you 3, 4, 5 weeks later and say, hey, can I meet with you again? And I'm like, well, did you do what I asked you to do? Well, nah. Okay, let's sit down and let's rehash it again, bro. And then 3, 4, 5 weeks pass again. And they're like, hey, it's me again. Can I sit down with you? And I'm like, third time's a charm? Like, listen, if you sit down with somebody that you trust, that is a man or woman of God, that communication should always lead to application. Okay. Nah, I'm not. Y'all are feeling like the 11 today. It's okay. You have to apply. Hey, Amber Kriska, I'm going to miss you. I love you so, so much. Congratulations. I don't mean to embarrass you. I just saw you right now. I saw it on the news yesterday. I was watching basketball. I love you. God bless you, God. I'm praying for you in your new season. Incredible. You're an incredible journalist. I love you so, so much. Peoria's going to miss you. I hope I didn't embarrass you. I love you. I love you so, so much. I don't know where I was. I've gotten off script with Rach and then Amber Kriska. I love you. Okay, Michael, get back on there. Where are you going? Okay, yeah, I've already beat y'all up. Let's keep going. Proverbs 31, verse 13. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. I always laugh when I read this because this is not Rach. She does not find wool and flax and spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. Taco Bell down the road. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household? Nah. And plan the day's work for her servant girls. I wish we had a servant girl. That sounded bad. I didn't mean it like that. I wish we had somebody to help us with the chores. Amber Kriska, I'm sorry this is the last message you're ever going to hear at Riverside. Whole Michigan has a better pastor and a better church for you up there. We're going to get it right before the 11. They're going to be more excited than y'all are. She goes to inspect a field and buys it with her earnings, and she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Can I tell you number two? Find a person who is what I would call contributive. Find somebody that's a helper and a hard worker. Find somebody that is a helper and a hard worker. Find somebody who is not lazy. See, when I, oh, some of y'all are like, oh my gosh, you just looked at your spouse next to you. See, when I met Rach, the thing I loved about her is that she had a job. She had a passion. She had a job that she loved. She didn't need me to come alongside her and give her something. She's like, I'm secure in who I am right now. And I think, man, when you start to date somebody and you're kind of trying to figure this out, I think there's three things I want you to find out about them. I think number one, find out if they have a passion. Find out if they have a passion for something. Maybe it's a passion for car repair. Maybe it's a passion for overseeing an in-house daycare. Maybe it's a passion for managing people. Maybe it's a passion to help the homeless. Maybe it's a passion for sharing the word of God. But are they passionate about something? Do they have a passion? If you ask them, hey, what's your passion in life, and they go quiet, that's not good. If you ask them, hey, do you have a passion, and they turn around and say, I have a passion for you, that's not enough. Don't fall for it. I think number one, find out if they have a passion, but secondly, do they have a plan? Do they have a plan for their life? See, do they have a plan for starting the business? Do they have a plan for getting out of debt? Do they have a plan for finishing school? See, you need to know that a passion without a plan is pointless. A lot of people have passions. Not a lot of people have plans. Listen, this morning, I know it seems a little rough around the edges, but we actually had a plan for this message. We had a plan for this morning. I don't just stand up here and be like, I hope I have something to share. No, I sit and I plan for this in terms of child dedication. We lay out this rug and we tell the people, put your toes around the rug so you get the best photo ever. We got a plan in worship, and sometimes those plans change. Pastor Sam is led by the Spirit of God and we add something or he says something from the platform, but there's a plan. Find somebody that has a passion, but they also have a plan. Thirdly, do they have a persistence? Do they keep going when things get hard? Do they keep going when things get hard? See, there are a lot of people that have a passion, but they don't have a work ethic. There are lots of people that start things, not a lot of people who finish things these days. You've been around dreamers? They tell you everything. I'm not against dreaming. I'm not against vision, but you've got to put some work into it. The person that you're with, the person that you're dating, it should not be all about you. You should not be the one always paying for the gas, paying for the meals, paying for the usher tickets. Yes, I'm going. Shut up. Got him. I'm going October 31st, yo. Don't try to get a ride with me. I'm not taking you. It's date night for my wife. She acts like she's prim and proper. She gets down to usher, yo. That's my girl. It's funny talking about Rach because, and she's like, I'm not going to come all 7 weeks of this series because I know you're just going to talk about me over and over again. She just keeps showing up. She's persistent. Come on, girl. She's persistent. And a couple of weeks ago, we were with our youngest son Ben, and we were in the store, and he asked for something. I said, "No, we're not gonna get that." And he said, "Well, Mom always gets it for me." Thank you. Where were you 2 weeks ago? And I turned to Ben and I said, "Well, Mom's not the one that pays the bills." Oh, I feel the judgment. You're like, that isn't discernment. That is straight up judgment right now. And it didn't come out the way that I meant it to come out. And Rach was so taken back. She goes, actually, I do. I do give towards what happens in this home. What I meant is that she's not the one that sits on the computer and monitors the online banking. She has given me that responsibility as the head of the home to pay the mortgage, to pay the bills, to do all the things. I didn't mean like she doesn't contribute anything. Why was she so offended by that? Because she knows I want to contribute to this relationship. She said, I want to be a vital part of this relationship that I've been over the last 20 years moving forward. See, I think sometimes it's our communication, man. I think sometimes it's how we talk. I'm learning in real time. We're never going to get this all done. We're just going to keep going. We're going to keep going. See, there are some of us today that we're 2 points in terms of finding somebody who's committed to you, somebody who's contributive, and you already know the person you're dating right now, you're starting to have some red flags. Michael, what do I do with that? Well, for me, I always point us right back to Scripture. What does it say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You're unsure of anything in life? Your seeking leads to God showing. When you seek God, he will show you what path to take. Your seeking leads to God showing. But can I go to the flip side of that? When God shows you the path, the direction to take in regards to relationships or anything else, you've got to be obedient. That's where we fall into traps. God, show me what this looks like. God speaks to you and you're like, God, you got another answer up there? See, because I think we get to the place where I feel like she's the one. I feel like he loves me. Your feelings are real, but they're not always reliable. You need to know your feelings are real. There's validity to them, but they're not always reliable. I'm standing here today saying that when I watch the Usher concert tonight, I hear it's a football game. It's the Usher concert to me. That when I watch the concert tonight, right now I feel like pizza. But maybe later on this afternoon, I'm gonna feel like chili cheese dip. Why? Because my feelings aren't reliable. My feelings come and go. See, some of you, you need to stop following your feelings and start following your Father. We're going by our feelings. All the time people come to me, I just feel like such a way. I feel, shut up. What is God saying to you? Stop following your feelings and start following your Father. See, can I tell you, if you are in a relationship today that your parents, your best friend, and your kids are not on the same page as you are, listen to them. Some of y'all aren't, because you just got into it with your mama 5 days ago about the dude you're sitting next to. See, can I tell you, because 9 times out of 10, they're right. The greatest battles I had with my mom were when I was dating somebody that she knew was not the right person for me. How did she know? Because she'd been praying for the right woman since I was a child. And so when the wrong person came along, she's like, oh no, bro, this ain't it. This is not the culmination of the prayer. No, 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 no. It's just not it. Enough in the vision that God gave me in 1977, bro. See, can I tell you, you gotta listen to those people, because it's not that your parents are mean. It's not that your best friend is jealous because she's single. It's not that your kids, you don't know him like I know him. No, sometimes people outside can see things that you don't see. And you need to listen to what they are telling you. You've got to be listening to what they say. And even some of you right now, you're like, Michael, move on. To which I would just give you another Usher lyric. Ain't got a rush. I just want to take it nice and slow. You don't want to listen to me? It's fine. Ain't got a rush. I didn't even sing it. I just want to take it nice and slow. If you're in a relationship right now, go slow and surrender it to Jesus. Just go slow. Don't make decisions on temporary emotions. Go slow and surrendered over and over again. You see, in the Old Testament, I think I'm gonna jump ahead, team, at the top. Let's go to Proverbs 31:19. It says, her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. See, the third thing you need to find in a partner, find somebody who's compassionate. Find someone who's compassionate. And I don't mean that you're just compassionate in that they say, I love you. I think compassion is more than that. I think are they compassionate in their actions? What does Lemuel's mom say? Find somebody who helps the poor. Find somebody who's compassionate with their actions. Find somebody that takes a meal to a new parent. Find somebody who is compassionate that maybe when class is over and there's another student in the room that's really struggling with trying to figure out this algebra, that person stays and I'm just want to help you. Can I help you? I'm good with algebra. Can I help you with that? Man, find somebody that prays for one another. And can I tell you, I've challenged so many people on this because this is what I've learned over the last few years, that when somebody says, will you pray for me? Pray for them right there. I don't know the number of times when somebody will come up to me and they'll say, hey, will you pray for what I have going on right now? I'm like, sure, I will pray for you. And I never do it. I don't do that on purpose, not intentional. I just forget. I forget. And so what I'm learning in real time, I think one of the greatest ways that you can be compassionate in your actions is to pray to somebody right there. Pray for somebody right in that moment. Show that you love them. See, I think, but also we're compassionate. Find somebody who's compassionate with their words. Find compassion that just doesn't say it. They actually live it out. Find somebody who is not just what they can take, but what they can give. Find somebody that encourages you. See, that's who Rach has been since the jump. Every single Sunday, we will leave here, even after this 9 o'clock service. She'll be like, that was a great word. I was like, sis, That was a hot mess. I got distracted by Amber Kriska, local news legend Amber Kriska. She said, I love you. She's like, move it on, move it on, move it on. But she's gonna be, I wanna encourage you. I wanna love you. See, there's a passage I always go back to. It's Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See, a fulfilling relationship is going to require somebody who is kind and forgiving. A fulfilling relationship. See, that's who Rach has been in my life for 20 plus years. Why? Because her kindness was shown in her forgiveness. I saw the kindness of my wife that she continues to forgive me over and over and over again. Can I tell you, find somebody who's compassionate with their touch. I don't mean that in a sexual way, because I think sometimes when we talk about touch and intimacy, our minds, guys, we generally go to sex. And I think when I say be compassionate in your touch, I'm talking from men to women right now, is treating them well. I think the first time that I wanted to hold Rach's hand, we were driving. She gives me such crap about this that we were driving, and she just had a kind of her hand on the seat, and I took my hand that wasn't driving, and I just like slid it under there. And she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm awkward. And she... and she's just like, let me just take it. Let me just hold your hand. And I was like, okay. She was compassionate in her touch. And then, I'm going way into this. It's a message. But then, like, the first time I tried to kiss her, it wasn't the first night. Calm down. I had boundaries. She had boundaries. And we were actually sitting on your couch in your living room. This is awkward. Sorry. She got way off track. She got way off track. But I'll never forget it, because like I felt like this is the moment. And I leaned in to kiss Rach, and she leaned in and we kissed, and she pulled back and she goes, that is never what you want to hear on the first kiss. But she came back for more. Just stupid. So stupid, Michael. It's so stupid. My gosh. Tomorrow morning at this time, I'm going to be sitting with our team, and we debrief on the Sunday. We go over wins and wrinkles. Team, I don't even know where we're going to go with it. Justin is like ready. He's got like, I got a whole list, bro. You're a mess. Okay, let's just keep going. Proverbs 31:22. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. No, you don't. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates, where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Can I tell you the fourth thing you need to look for in somebody? Find somebody who's courageous. Find somebody who is courageous. I think so many times we go into new relationships because we have the fear of the past causes us to fear the future. We're so stuck to the pain and what has happened to us in the past that we're so scared to move forward. And can I tell you, healthy relationships are made out of two healthy people. Healthy relationships are made out of two healthy people. I feel like I say it every single week. Deal with your stuff. What is the stuff that you have to deal with in real time? What is the stuff right now that if I don't handle it right now, I will step into a relationship and I will blow up that relationship? Man, start to deal with this stuff in real time. See, you will face things in your relationship, in your marriage, that you will never see coming. There will be things that come against you. And when those times come, you can't be a wimp. You got to be a warrior. You got to keep going. You got to move courageously, knowing that God is with you every single step of the way. What does it say in the scripture, especially when it comes to marriage, that the devil, his aim is to steal, kill, and destroy? He wants to take out marriages. He wants to rip you apart. Can I tell you, it's why every single day I pray over my marriage, because I am not strong on my own. See, I can be an idiot just like everybody else. I can wander. I can be tempted. And God, every single day, please help me keep my eyes only on Rach. Don't allow me to go one way or the other. I want to be honest. I want to be with her. I just want to keep my eyes fixed and focused on you. See, if you are moving into a relationship, if you are moving into marriage and you think marriage is going to save you, you're in for a bad next chapter. See, because if you go into marriage with the wrong motives, marriage will not save you. Marriage will sabotage you. Marriage will not save you. Marriage will not start to, now you'll start to feel some sort of way. No, marriage will just expose those things. Your inadequacies, your insecurities. See, I think we've gone from the last 30 years, great movie, terrible insight. Jerry Maguire. Jerry comes to like this book club with all these middle-aged women, and he starts to cry. And Jerry finds Renee Zellweger. And what does he say? He looks at her with tears streaming down his face. One of the greatest performances of Tom Cruise. And he says, "You complete me. You complete me." And it pans to Reese. And she says, "Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello." And you see all these middle-aged book club women just crying. And what have we done? We've had a generation of women that are looking for men to complete them. I'm going into situations and, oh, my man is here to complete me. Some of you singles last week, you stood up awkwardly at the end of service and you looked around thinking, maybe there's a man here that's going to complete me. Let me take you to scripture. Some of y'all get so offended. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." A person cannot complete you. Why? Because Jesus already has. You will continue to go searching for something that God has already provided for you. What you think in a relationship right now is completion is actually codependency. Because you are looking for something from someone else. You're looking for approval. You're looking for affection that person will never be able to satisfy. It will only come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. A man or a woman is never meant to complete you, always just to compliment you, to come alongside you. See, Rach and I, in a lot of ways, we're very different. We have similarities, but we're very different. See, what I'm good at, she's not. And what she's good at, I'm not. And it's a beautiful puzzle that over the last 20 years, God has formed us together. He's united us together. Can I tell you, 20 years on, we're better than ever before, but I don't stand back and just allow now to go on cruise control. No, I have to work on our marriage. I've got to put Rach first time and time and time again. I need her to know I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. And we're going to move courageously. Can I tell you, one of the most courageous things we've done in 20 years of marriage is lead this house. Because on our own, too big. On our own, too overwhelming. On our own, we feel like we're not cut out for this. But can I tell you, when God gives you something, when God says, "I want to platform you, when I want to promote you," you lean in and God's going to strengthen you and you move courageously. Why? Because we're not cowardly, we're courageous men and women of God. Keep moving, keep going forward, keep going in the plan and the purpose and the destiny that God has for you. I don't know where I am again. I'm just going to keep going. Proverbs 31, 26. I'm just going to team at the top. Can we give it up for the team at the top today? You don't know, Patrick. Pick up in verse 26. When she speaks, her words are wise. She gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Can I tell you the last thing you need to look for? Find somebody who's concentrated. Find somebody who is concentrated on Jesus. Find somebody who's concentrated on Jesus. See, I think so many times we get in relationships with people and their outward appearance doesn't match their inward reality. Who they show us to be and who they really are sometimes are diametrically opposed. See, if we're not careful, we will give our body, our emotions, our future over to people who look good but are not good for you. What does it say? Lemuel's mama says, hey, beauty fades away. Beauty does not last. Dare I say, what is sexy in one season will be saggy in another season, yo. Letty's gonna get a tattoo on her forearm that says that. So stupid. I just thought of this. Pastor John texted me a picture a few days ago. And it was a picture of me and my daughter and one of my nieces. They were probably 3 years old. And underneath it, he said, pastoring has aged you. True. No, it's true. I wasn't offended by it. That's true. Look at me. We need to do side by side of like 2020 and 2024. I'm half the man I used to be. And I thought of that so much because I'm a different person than I was, man, 15 years ago, I think that picture was from. And I looked at that picture and I went into the bathroom and I looked at myself today. And I do, I look different in the last 15 years. But can I tell you what I've learned is that I look at my face and there's lines, there's wrinkles, gray hair, but every line is a lesson. Every line that I see on my face was a moment where I learned, I grew. I'm not the same man that I used to be. Can I tell you, every wrinkle is a remembrance. Every wrinkle is a remembrance of what God has done in my life. That over the last 15 years, in a lot of ways, I think Rach would tell you, I'm a different man than I was 15 years ago. I may be graying, but I'm growing. I'm growing in wisdom. I'm growing in knowledge. Growing in learning how to be a better dad. Growing in how to be a better husband, better pastor. Y'all, I don't got it figured out. You're like, yeah, we know. We saw today. But I think so many times in my life, as I think back to those moments, that God has never let me fall. That as often as I wasn't pursuing Jesus, Jesus was pursuing me. See, because when you are concentrated on Jesus, your looks will fail, but your legacy won't. When you're concentrated on Jesus, see, one day when I'm no longer the pastor here, one day when I go to eternity, I pray, I know they're not ever gonna talk about my looks. It's all right. I've come to terms with that. I pray that they're like, oh, Michael, he's the one that had the really good shoe game. If that's all they say about me, we missed it. I pray that they don't talk about, yeah, he's kind of rough around the edges, but he was like a pastor unlike any pastor I've ever been around. I don't even hope they say that. I pray that when I'm dead and gone, my legacy is of a man who loved Jesus. Amen. That all the other stuff starts to fade away. That all of it is gone. I want to be a man who's concentrated on Jesus. Can I tell you? We spent the last 45, 50 minutes giving you four things leading up to this last point. And if I'm honest with you, those first four pale in comparison to number five. This is the most important. If the person you are dating is not concentrated on Jesus, you shouldn't be concentrated on them. I don't need to do it. I knew this message was going to be hard because the Lord is speaking to some of you right now. And this whole time, you know, somebody's going to stop me at the door and be like, I feel like you've been sitting in my house. I feel like you've been living with my boyfriend and I right now. Side note, you shouldn't be living with your boyfriend only after you get married. That's another word for another day. Or get offended even more. See, but there's something that happens. My boy Paul, we read about Paul. I'm going to land this plane. See, what does Paul say? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Some of you are going to fight back with me. Michael, but I'm going to change them. I'm going to change that person who's far from Jesus. Can I tell you, you can't change people. Only God can. People are not projects. And what starts to happen is, I know you think you're going to change them. I know you really believe that. But I've gone to church 45 years of my life. And can I tell you the track record that generally happens? You don't change them. They change you. And before you know it, you had such a call of God over your life. And now you become a shell of your former self because the wrong people have now taken you to the wrong places. Can I tell you, if the person you're dating is inhibiting your walk with Jesus, you need to initiate the breakup with them. I'm not trying to be hurtful. I know that's, I don't say that flippantly. I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm trying to be helpful. Because if not, you're going to go down a path and I'm going to be standing here 6 months from now and saying, man, what happened to Kenny? What happened to Kenny? Where did Robin go? Oh my gosh, Dante, where are you? And the wrong relationship took them down the wrong path. See, my last charge to you is find somebody who is more in love with Jesus than they are with you. Find someone who's more in love with Jesus than they are with you, because can I tell you, if anything ever happens to me, it could be a hard season for Rach. It's gonna be difficult to move forward with that, but can I tell you with 100% accuracy, Rach isn't gonna be shaken. Why? Because she didn't build her foundation on me. She's built her foundation of Jesus Christ, who's going to sustain her every single step of the way. See, I think this moment, this day, in all of its mess, see, it's a beauty. The Lord can speak to you even in the midst of a really messy communicator. See, for some of you right now that are dating somebody and you've been unsure if this is the person. Today, this message, as I laid out all five of those things, it's been confirmation. All five of these things I found in Rach really, really early, and it was confirmation to me, this is the woman my mama prayed for. And so today, for some of you, it's a moment of what I call declaration. It's a moment that you got to declare to the other person, no, God is doing something. I know I've held back. I know I've been scared. I know that I had the pain of coming from a divorced family, but I know that God has brought you into my life. And today I'm making a moment of declaration. Say, I want to be with you. I want to move this relationship forward. For others of you, you're on the flip side. For others of you, as hard as this is, Today is a moment of departure. Today, as we unpack scripture, and this isn't Michael, this is the word of God. And as we've read through that, you said, I'm dating somebody that is far from that. Today is a moment of departure. You got to have the hard conversation in the next couple of days. But we're hosting a Super Bowl party together today. What do I do? Wait till tomorrow. Don't ruin their Usher concert experience. Y'all are going to tag me. I know. I'm going to be sitting there about 7:30. You're going to be taking pictures. I'm going to be tagged in a ton of stuff on Facebook. I'm ready. For some of you, it's a moment of departure. You know, God is somebody better for you. This is just confirmation. But for some of you that are married today, I said, open up your heart. See, which of the things in our marriage am I lacking? This is a moment of development for marriages. This is a moment. I've got to see where I fall short. I've got to see where I'm not giving Rach everything she needs. It's got to be a moment of apology. It's got to be a moment, Rach, I'm sorry I've let you down. I'm trying to be better. I'm going to try to be better. Can I tell you, 20 years of marriage this June, and the number of times that I've had to come to my wife in tears and say, I'm sorry I let you down. Sorry I wasn't the man that you needed. So I'm not the man of God that I made the vows on this platform one day. I'm sorry, I'm moving forward. I pray that if you talk to Rach today, she would tell you this is the best season of our marriage. Doesn't mean it's perfect. I don't say that. Don't clap for me. Oh, look at us. We're so good. No, we're learning. Because there's been moments of development in our marriage over and over again where we had to see what I'm not, and God, you can have your way in this marriage. Here's what I want all over this place. I just want you to stand because I want to pray for you. Before I pray, I want to thank you for your kindness. I want to thank you. Some of y'all are just here for child dedication. You ain't ever coming back again. Talk about refutation. My reputation is in the trash after this. It's like, that was messy, bro. But today I want to pray. And if you feel comfortable, take the hand of somebody you're sitting next to, whether it's a friend, a spouse, maybe somebody you want to be friends with, maybe somebody you want to date. I don't know where you're sitting. Maybe that's the Lord today. And I just want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person under the sound of my voice today. Lord, no matter the season that we're in, no matter our relationship status today, Lord Jesus, I pray that your words can do what mine can't. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit that's been here since the jump today is already ministering. It's been moving on people's hearts. And Lord, today, I pray that you give them the courage to have the hard decisions made. I pray that you give them the courage to have the hard conversations. Lord, I pray that you give us the courage to start to move forward in our marriages, Lord. I pray that you would help us move forward and not settling for second best, God, when I know there's moms and dads that are praying for spouses in this room, and I'm not just gonna go the first person that comes in my path, the first person that pops up on my feed, Lord Jesus, I want to rest. I want to go slow and be submitted to whoever you have called me to be with, Lord Jesus. I pray blessing over every single person today. Lord, be with them today and in the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love y'all. Have a great week.